All right, today is going to be a real practical time. It's not going to be a lot of vision, a lot of theology, just a lot of practical how to live as a Christian. It seems like more and more of my talks are that way lately, which is okay, which is good. Back in November, I talked about how important it was for the three R's. That was to be in the right place with the right people doing the right thing. I shared that in Cleveland. I shared that in Augusta. It's really on God's heart. And it's just a big deal right now. His glory is going to cover the earth. It's going to cover all flesh. And to do that, He's partnering with us. We often think we're just going to see it and watch it from afar, but it's not. He's going to involve us because this is our earth. That's why He had to come back as a man to earth, because He had given the earth to man, so He came back as a man to take our sins and to also give us authority over this earth. So He's just not going to do it and just have us to watch. He's doing it with us. And so He's like a master chess player. And He's getting the pieces, the pawns, the knights, the queens in the right place. And you're the pawns, you're the knights, and you're the queens. And He's getting you in the right place. And it's a big deal. Rick Joyner, who is in my covering, who I'm ordained under, is very, very strong on this. Last June, when I was at the ministers' meeting for his ministers, he talked a lot about it. You need the same thing. He didn't use these same words, but he said it's important to be with the right people too, because we're going to need each other as we go through things. We're going to need each other for resources. We're going to need each other for encouragement. And he talked about a phenomenon that is happening in the church today. For the first time that we can tell statistics, more people don't go to church than go to church. They're still saved, but they just don't go. This came out with a report. Some survey did this recently. And the problem with this is when you don't go to church, church doesn't have to be defined this way. I mean, there's different definitions of church, but you need to be around a group of people, not isolated. And most of these people are isolated. And Rick Joyner has really been on. He says, if tough times come, it's going to be too late to try to find your right place, right people, and right thing. And that's doing what He wants you to do with the people He wants you to do it in the place that He wants you to do it. And it's just a big deal, because if you wait till you're in the middle of something, you're going to be spending all of your time trying to find the three R's, and He's wanting you to be a blessing and help lead people forward. And so it's a big deal. And so listen carefully. This whole year is this way. It needs to be this way the rest of your life. Am I doing the right thing with the right people and in the right place? Because God has one place for you, one people, and one thing. And He will help get you there. If you're not sure, then you go and pray about it and you get there. Because my job as a shepherd is to help lead you and help lead myself so that we're mature, lacking for nothing, hearing His word. It's not just to entertain you or give you a good word. I want to make sure we're all in the right sheepfold at the right thing. And so I've been teaching that a lot lately. And just recently the Lord said, I want you to add a fourth R. Because without this fourth R, the other three R's are not going to work. And He told me, He said, the fourth R is a right attitude. That if you're in the right place, doing the right thing with the right people, but if you got the wrong attitude about it, and if you're just like suffering for Jesus in a bad way, you know what I'm talking about? Lord, just help me. I'm not going to get there. It will not lubricate the other three R's. And so it started me on a little journey. Okay, what is the right attitude? And that is such a big subject, and I don't think we're going to get through all of it. I don't think I have the whole big picture on it, but the Lord did give me a piece that He was emphasizing to me. And so I'll pass it on to you, and hopefully it's a word for you. That part of the right attitude needs to be made up of two things: being positive and being thankful. And that those two things, if we're not positive and if we're not thankful, will affect all of your other life. And even if you're in the right place with the right people, the right thing, it ain't going to go right. Because we're not moving forward. The right attitude is God's thoughts on these things. I wrote these definitions down for positive and thankful. I didn't look them up in a dictionary, but they made sense to me. Positive is believing that events, past and future, will turn out well. Positive is believing that events, past, present, and future, will turn out well. And to see, to be positive, it requires you to have a belief in a being that is greater than yourself. We can always be positive when we've got plenty of money in the bank, we've got plenty of people around us that love us. Is this thing getting too aggravating?
No, it's cool.
Okay. And everything's going right. But see, that's based on circumstances and that's based on me, which can change instantly.
Yes.
It's easy to be positive when everything is aligned. But when it's not aligned and you're still positive, you're saying there is something bigger than me and these circumstances. And as Romans 8:28 says, I can cause all things to work together for good, even if in the past they were not, because of who I am. And so positive is making a statement to you, to your soul, renewing your mind, and to the world. I believe in something bigger than myself. The definition I wrote down for thankful is being grateful for what and who I have. I don't know about you, but if I just had this thing, I would be thankful. Or if I had this person, I would be thankful. Or if this person wasn't here, I would really be thankful. Okay? And see, thankfulness, again, is believing that God has given me all that I need right now. Do we believe that? I struggle with that. But being thankful is believing that God has given me all that He thinks I need in people and things right now. So being positive and thankful, especially, man, it's just so depressing a lot of times now, isn't it? There's so many challenges. But it is a statement at its core, and I'm going to talk about being practical here, but it is a statement at the core. It is not just revolving around me. It is having a God who can take care of me. And it is a faith statement. I believe it is God's will for us to be positive and thankful. I don't think it's an option. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. You might have read these verses. Be joyful always.
Come on.
Now joy is a product of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
There ain't no way.
Yes.
I'm going to be joyful always without going, Holy Spirit,
you got that right.
You need to be strong
Amen,
in me.
Brother.
Pray continually. Now, obviously, we can't pray all the time because you got to drive, you got to cook dinner, you got to work. But that's staying in an atmosphere or a position where you constantly can hear Him. Be ready to pray continually. I know there's been many times in my life when I know it's time to go to pray, I go, oh my gosh, I've got to repent for 3 sins right now. You know, I've got to get leveled up, so to speak, before I can even ask Him on anything. You know, I just yelled at my wife. Well, I can't pray now. I got to go repent and go ask her for forgiveness. Give thanks. See, this is why I think it's God's will in all circumstances to thank Him. Give thanks in all circumstances. All. Not just when you won the $1.5 billion Powerball lottery. If y'all did, bless you. It's easy to thank God when that happens. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And just think about that. Even when I don't feel like I'm thankful, I'm supposed to be thankful? That's what He says. Well, my goodness, how do you do that? I can give you a few ways. So even if the circumstances aren't going right, still thank Him. Father, I thank You for these circumstances. Why? Because You've commanded it. It doesn't look like it's going to work out, but You said be thankful. So there's something here that needs to be redeemed, that You're going to redeem. There's something in here that's for me, that You're going to do for me. And I'm just going to keep thanking You. You know, right now, there is such an epidemic of pessimism, anxiety, and, you know, maybe even bordering on hopelessness. It just seems to be growing in America. And without a Creator, I would just be depressed all the time.
Sure.
But it says in Romans 1:21, for although it This is, I think, describing our country, sort of a negative verse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. There is, and we can look at a lot of what America does. It's, some of it's just plain foolishness. Have you ever, you know, these people get up, they Harvard professors or they're senators, and they say stuff and they act like they're doing these profound things, and you get through and you go, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And they're living, as another verse in Romans says, professing to be wise, they have become fools. There is a direct link between not thanking God, not acknowledging the Creator, and foolishness. The more you don't thank God, the more you don't acknowledge the Creator, the more foolish you become, thinking you're smart, but you've just gotten off over here in this dark corner, and you're just by yourself babbling. And there is a link between thanking God and wisdom. When you start thanking God and praising God for the circumstances that's not even there, He starts giving you insight into situations and what's going on in the bigger picture that you would have never gotten. Amen. It's sort of like His parents. How many of you have had kids that come in and they're happy? They want to be around you. You want to be around them. They're being thankful. And you just keep pouring out more, don't you? But if they come in with a bad attitude, my gosh, you know, you don't do this and you don't do that, you're like wanting to slap them up the head and go, you ain't getting nothing else, are you? Now, that's not how God is, but there is a principle there. Recently, I read a survey about how a quarter of all women suffer from some form of depression. And that's sad. And that's probably worth many talks there. And it's not the whole answer, but I think some of the answer is starting to just get back into the presence of the Lord and thanking Him for what He has given you.
Yes, sir.
It says in Philippians 4, 8 and 9, this is a commandment. Brothers, whatever is true, y'all know this verse, he says think on these things. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And the peace of God be with you. That's why it's so important to what we watch and what we spend our time on. Turn with me over to Mark 6, 35. This is the chapter where he feeds the 5,000. I think this is a great principle here. Shows us what happens when we are thankful, that we see God move. There's just something about when we're thankful. If you're in the middle of a problem, instead of complaining, which is our normal mode or my normal mode, or being depressed, start thanking Him. He starts moving. Background here is there's like 5,000 men, not counting women and children, so there's 15, 20,000 people. Who knows? They're out there. It's hot. Jesus said he's been teaching them. There's no McDonald's or Taco Bell's around. And by this time in verse 35 in Mark 6, it says, by this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place. It's Sunday and Chick-fil-A is closed. And it's already very late. Verse 36, send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Verse 37. But he answered, you give them something to eat. Okay. This is a cool story. We've probably all heard this story. What if you were one of those 12 guys? You're out there. You don't have a Yeti cooler full of stuff. There ain't no places you can go and get some food. So obviously he's not talking about physical food here. Because he's not a dummy. Jesus wasn't a dummy. He's, you know, everything in the Scriptures has at least two levels. The physical thing he's saying, which does have an application, and then the spiritual principle that he's trying to do behind it, sometimes even greater. So he's going, you give them something to eat. He was challenging them to think bigger. They didn't fall for it. They weren't ready for it. They were like me. They said to him, that would take 8 months of my wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? So he realized, they're missing this whole point here. I'm just going to show it to them. And he goes, how many loaves do you have? He asked. They didn't know. He said, well, go and find out. So they go walk through all 5,000 people. They come back. One boy had brought some food. He was the only one that planned. He's probably had a great mom. Probably had a mom that said, here, you take this, you take care of it, you make sure you send it out. Everybody else, I don't know where their mind was. He said, well, this one boy has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. They sat in groups of hundreds and fifties. I don't want to take long on here, but why did he divide 5,000 men up in groups of hundreds and fifties? It doesn't say. But he was trying to get them in the right place with the right people so they could get the right thing. And there's a principle here for us. Many people think, well, I'll just sort of float through life and God will get you there. No. You follow His will, because even in this, He was into order. In this, He was even, I want you in this group of 50, I want you over here in this group of 100, and He divided them. Amen. For whatever reason, I'm sure it was easier to pass out the food. But there's blessings coming, and we need to be in the right group. Verse 41, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looking up to heaven, He gave thanks and broke the loaves. And y'all know what happened. Okay, what's the principle here? They needed a miracle. 5 loaves and 2 fishes wasn't going to do it. So Jesus could have complained about only having 5 loaves and 2 fishes for thousands of people. He could have said, God, why am I in this situation? God, what are you doing to me? I am your son. I'm here. No way to feed these guys. The principle is this. Your miracle starts with being thankful for what you have.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And as you're thankful for what you have, and you allow yourself to be broken, He broke the loaves. Broken is humility. Trusting upon the Lord, He can multiply what you have. And that's the partnership. See, being thankful causes God to move, and being thankful causes God to multiply. And that's just an important principle here. And whatever you have, if you don't have enough to pay the rent, say, Father, I thank you for the $10 I have to pay this rent. And I thank you that somehow or another you're going to multiply this thing. I'm going to do my part, but I'm also going to be, you got to do your part. And that's the partnership there. The neat thing about the brokenness is that, you know, we often say, I'm a mess and He won't use me. Or I'm too broken and He won't use me. He used food from a boy that was not even counted. There was 5,000 men. They didn't even count and record the boys and the girls and the women that were there. So God took somebody that in their culture they didn't even count, because they only counted men. And He took that person who was not even on their radar, and He fed 5,000 people.
Wow.
That's a powerful principle. That whoever you are, that boy gave over his entire lunch. I'm sure he's going, when I get home, my mom's going to kill me. Maybe she was there, hopefully. My mom's going to kill me. I gave my lunch away. And she told me not to share it with anybody. But he gave it away, what he had. The person that wasn't counted. And God said thanks over this and took this humble offering and this broken offering, and they all ate well satisfied. Thanksgiving is a powerful thing. Because what it does, when you're thankful, what you're doing is focusing on what God is doing and what He is going to do, and not what is not being done. I mean, we all know what's not being done. But it's called faith. When you just say, Father, I thank you for where I'm at. I thank you for my health. I want it to get improved. I thank you for my finances. I want it to get improved. But I thank you that I'm still alive and I'm not dead in a ditch somewhere or in a grave somewhere or homeless somewhere. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes,
I thank you for this. And what that's saying is, God, you have not forgotten me, and you will not forget me, and you're still moving on my behalf. And it's just like a little kid crying out to their father. You know, you're wanting to do the best for them, and He'll do that. It is a powerful thing, and it's a powerful faith statement. Another way that thankfulness improves our relationships is it improves our relationships. There was a study by the University of Georgia that interviewed 468 couples. They went and tried to find the secret to success and happiness, if they had it or they didn't have it. They looked at their communication styles. They looked at their personalities. They looked at their finances. All this kind of stuff. And all of those were important. But you know what the number one predictor of a successful marriage was? Gratitude. Very similar to thankfulness. Just how often they said thanks to each other for doing the dishes, even if the dishes was their job, or going to work, even if that was their job, or cutting the grass, if that was, you know, whatever, or thankful for doing this, or thankful for the meals. That was the number one thing that was the predictor of success in relationships. So being thankful not only helps you figure out, you know, I'm in the right place and help to move forward, but in the group of people that you're around, thankfulness is a great way to help in those relationships. Let's talk a little bit about how to be thankful. And I'm just going to share in my heart what I do. I'm not, you know, we all struggle with this thing. Things pop into your head. You can't keep thoughts from popping into your head. But you can decide what you're going to do with those thoughts.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Now, this takes strength. I found a lot of people are not emotionally strong. They may be physically strong, but not emotionally strong. If somebody, let's talk about physical strength. Somebody starts throwing rocks at you, you can grab those rocks if you're physically strong or if you're a great athlete and get out of the way. A lot of us, because our society doesn't teach discipline in an emotional sense, you know, there's just like saying, hey, just be quiet. Learn to be quiet or learn to do whatever. That a lot of Christians, it's hard for them to be emotionally strong and catch the rocks of bad thoughts that come their way. So it does take some working out in the spa. It does take working out, you know, with some in the gym type of thing to get good at this. But the Bible's real clear in 2 Corinthians, or as Donald Trump said, 2 Corinthians 10:5. If you don't know, that's fine. That was something that was in the news. It was so silly they even brought up. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Cast down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is the main thing I want to zero in. Bring in every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Oh man, that's easy to say. It's hard to do. This is what I'm getting at. When these thoughts come into your mind and you know this is going to make me depressed or it's complaining or it's whining, it's not thankful, it's not positive, you have got to grab those thoughts by choice and say, I am not going to dwell on these things.
Got that right.
What you dwell on has you.
Yes, sir.
What you dwell on controls you.
Yes, sir.
We cannot keep the rocks from coming to our head, but we can keep from grabbing hold of them and letting them weigh us down. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, rebuke the devil, and he will flee from you. Now this is basic teaching. This is practical teaching. It's hard to live out. But how many of you have seen some of the most gifted people you've ever seen, given the best circumstances they've ever been in, and they still do not succeed because of their attitude? They're not positive. They're not grateful. You can take somebody that's been in bad... Have you ever seen somebody that's been in bad circumstances, in bad homes, and they make something out of their life because they have the right attitude? Now, the good thing is it's not just a human self-help thing. When those thoughts come of being depressed or discouraged or I'm not going to make it, or this circumstance, I wish I was out of it, that's where you turn in when you say, Holy Spirit, help me to grab this thought and throw it away. And what I do is I just start thanking the Lord for the circumstance that I'm in. I say, Father, I thank you that I'm here. It may be a mess, but I'm here because you're going to help me to change this mess.
Hallelujah.
And whatever part that I'm making a mess, you're going to help change it.
Yes, sir.
Because you want to see this world redeemed, and I'm here. And I thank you that you're going to empower me, that you're going to give me the joy of the Holy Spirit. And it helps me to sometimes just start praising God. It's as simple as that. Just saying, Father, I thank you. If I can't get over my circumstances, I just start going, Father, I praise you that you are still on the throne. I praise you that you are God. I praise you that I'm going to heaven. If you're so bad off, at least you can thank him you're not going to hell. I thank you that I'm going to heaven. I thank you for this. I thank you for that. And start doing this.
Amen. Yes.
Some people it helps to have a gratitude journal. I'm not a journaler. There's a lot of value into it. I just don't like to write, I think, is my major problem. But studies have shown people that were psychologists dealing with depressed people, they have them start writing a journal. And every day they have to write down at least one, preferably more, something you are thankful for that day. These are unbelievers using biblical principles. We can use these biblical principles with the Holy Spirit that they don't have. And you start journaling. Just start saying, if that's your thing, if not, do it verbally. Father, I thank you for this. I thank you for that. And what happens is it starts giving us a perspective that is above our present circumstances. Even if they don't change, it's sort of like a bubble. You sort of transcend your circumstances and you start seeing, you know, God is here. God has not forgotten me. God is still on the throne. And I can't explain all this around, but what happens is you may still be in the same physical circumstances, but a positive attitude and thankfulness gives you His perspective on the situation.
Yes, sir.
It causes you to rise up in that, as Ephesians 2 says, you are seated at the right hand of God the Father. What does that mean? I'm not physically there, no. But as you start taking on His characteristics and thanking Him and praising Him, you start taking on His viewpoint and you realize, okay, these are important circumstances, but they're not that big of a deal for Him. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
All right, in closing, let me give you a challenge. This is where the rubber meets the road. We can sit here and go, Craig, that was an awesome, awesome talk, and, you know, it wasn't that good, but whatever. You know, it was a good talk. Let me challenge you as I'm challenging myself, because what happens whenever the Lord gives me words to share with other people, it means I am to do them as much or more than anybody else. They're usually from me. And so what I've been trying to do is I want to challenge you with two things. For the next 24 hours, I mean, you can go for a week if your faith is there, or the month, but the next 24 hours, don't say anything negative. Only say something positive.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Now, the first thing that started happening to me when I did that is I talk a whole lot less than I did before.
Hallelujah, that's good. Yeah.
The second thing is double the amount of thanks to people around you. Some of you, that might be going to one. Hopefully not. There have been days I've not said thanks to anybody. And so if I said one, man, that's 100% increase, doubling there. So for the next 24 hours, consciously, we'll go, well, I'm just not feeling it. Well, let's take guys. Did your wife clean your clothes this week? Did you put on your socks? Or maybe you do the laundry. I don't know. Every house has their own routine. So you take it, however. So when you put on those pants, just thank whoever did it. Thank you for washing these pants. I did not have to take out my time to wash these things. That's a blessing. Think how much of a time it had to take you to do that. Or whatever. You get the picture. So double the thanks and the gratitude. And I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to close with this. You will start feeling more at peace, and you will start feeling more of the presence of God, which is the same thing. Because when you thank and give thanks, it causes you to slow down and center in on what's the most important around you. And center in on God's principles. And as you slow down and as you thank and you be positive, I guarantee you next week, if you do 24 hours, and if you negative twice, well, let's say the next 24 hours, let's try to get it down to one. Now, I'm not saying you ignore bad problems. You can go, hey, you know, spouse, we got to pay this bill. You know, that's a fact of life. We don't ignore the bill. But we say, let's pray and see how God's going to meet this bill. And as you start doing that, and I'm telling you, more peace and the presence of God will surround you. Why? Because these are eternal principles. Because he said, praise him in all things, give thanks in all things. Let's stand.